In Revelation chapter 14, the fourth verse says this: "These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb." I want to speak to you today, if God will help me, from this statement: "These are they which follow the Lamb." You know, there's no doctrine in the Bible. The Bible's full of doctrine. I hear people once in a while say, "I don't like doctrine." I said, "You don't like the Bible." The Bible is full of doctrine. But there's no doctrine so sweet to my heart, and I hope to yours, than the doctrine of the vicarious atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a doctrine that blesses us in time. Every morning I wake up and I think, I'm saved. By the grace of God, I'm His. It's a doctrine that prepares us for eternity. I said earlier, I've been having a good week this week. I've been getting some work done. I've been getting some things cleaned up. Things I've put off for a couple of years, haven't felt like doing, and I felt like doing it this week, and it's good. And I'm doing what I'm doing, not because I particularly want to, but because eternity's coming. And I want to get ready. I'm ready spiritually. I just need to get some things took care of in this world. This is a doctrine that needs to be preached to this generation and to future generations. I'm telling you, I have a great burden in my heart. I think about the children that are here this morning. And I wonder who's going to preach to them. I sat down the other day. Hey, this is a gospel church. It's not a democracy, and I don't run it. I'm the pastor, and I'm the boss. Well, God's the boss, but I'm his servant. One of these days, I'm going to get too old to pastor. And I have thought about that for years. And I thought, I wonder who will be the next pastor. I hope I've taught people well enough they'll know how to call a pastor. And I got to thinking about two or three men that I've had in my mind. I thought, you know, they'd be a good guy to follow. And it got to dawning on me one day. I was thinking about that, and the Lord said to me, "You old ninny, by the time you get old enough to retire, they'll be old too." I said, "I guess I never thought about that." But I am concerned that when the children that are here this morning are adults, that there will be somebody that they can come to this place and sit on a seat and hear them speak, and they will speak the Word of God. No person should be allowed to deny that there is a special and particular redemption of God's people. There is an elect company for whom Christ laid down His life. And I want to preach to you this morning, if the Lord will help me, a message that I have entitled, "Led by the Lamb." John writes here that these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And I want God to help me. And I just want to show you two or three things that the Lord's shown me in this passage of Scripture. That's all I know how to do. Whatever the Lord shows me, I try to show it to you. First of all, there's a mark of saints here. Now, a lot of people think saints are all got their own idea what a saint is. Now, you may take offense at what I'm fixing to say, and if you do, that's okay. We can disagree about that. I can disagree with folks about most anything. I don't know where I was today. Somebody brought me a picture of, what was that woman's name? Mother Teresa. And it had a little inscription under it, something she'd said sometime. And they said, don't you think this is grand? I said, well, it's a nice saying. I didn't say what I was thinking. She may be a saint to somebody, but she's not to me. You see, a saint, by biblical definition, is someone who has confessed their sinfulness and found hope and refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ. You might be Manasseh, a man who for 55 years was the worst king that Israel ever had, but then he was an old man. God showed him his glory. You might be like Josiah, the young boy who became king. And God showed him his glory, and he became a saint. The saints of God are marked by this attribute. They are they which follow the Lamb. I've heard people argue and debate, discuss, ad infinitum, about who's a saint, why they're a saint, how come they're a saint. Listen to me. If you follow the Lamb, you're a saint of God. This has always been the pattern of men and women who've been redeemed by the grace of God. When Abel offered the Lord a lamb back in the book of Genesis, he did so because he was a follower of the Lamb. When Abram offered his son Isaac, he was 100 years old when that child was born. He waited 100 years. And when he put him on an altar and put wood under him and took a dagger and was ready to pierce it in his heart and God stopped his hand, he did so because he was a follower of the Lamb. Israel stayed in Egyptian bondage for all those years. And they were looking for a Passover lamb. And one day, it came through. The prophet Isaiah had a very clear picture of this lamb. Because he wrote in Isaiah 53 verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. You live in a time when people whine and moan and groan and complain about the least little thing. But the Lord of glory, the one who created the heavens and the earth, was oppressed and afflicted and never opened his mouth. He's brought as a lamb, it says, to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. John the Baptist, that old man that wore the woolly robe with the leather skin around his neck, lived on honey and locusts. What did he have to say? He pointed people to this lamb. It says in John 1:29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. It is the Lamb and the Lamb alone who makes men and women to be saints. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 14, the Bible says, I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Years ago when I was first saved, I used to worry myself to death. I said, if tribulation comes, if hard times come, if the government outlaws Christianity, what am I going to do? I'm such a weak person, I'll probably just abandon Christ, and what's he going to do with me? I've got to be an old man now. I don't care what they do. I'm following the Lamb. I'm following the Lamb. That's all I got to do. My friend, sainthood begins at Calvary. It begins at the cross. There is no prospect of anyone becoming holy until the remission of their sins is absolutely complete. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, upset the religious Pharisees and Sadducees of his day by saying to them simply this, "Be ye perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect." Does that upset you? I say to you today, be you perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. If that upsets you, you might have a problem. It is the Lamb who keeps us as saints. John wrote this in 1 John 1:7, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." You know, I love to be with you folks. I love this church, and I love the people here. I love fellowshipping with you. I love being around you. I love it when you come to hear the message that God's given me to preach. But you know, there are a lot of religious people. I'd rather have a toe itch than to be around them. I never have a toe itch, but it sounds like, sounds deplorable. You know. I don't dislike anybody. Really, there's nobody that I hate or dislike. There's just some people I like them a lot better when they're in California or Argentina, you know. Antarctica sounds good for a few people I know. But I love being with you all because the fellowship of Christ binds us together. In 1 Samuel 2:9 it says, "He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail." You see, I used to try to survive in this world by my own strength. I was bigger than everybody else. I figured I was stronger than anybody else. I could probably take care of myself. You know what I found out? You might be 6'6" and weigh 350, 60, 70 pounds like I do. All I got to do is walk in, give you a shot, and you're as helpless as a lamb. You can't do anything. It changed my mind about a lot of things. There is no other one for the saints to follow except this Lamb. I can follow Dan. You know, I can follow Jack. I can follow Brenda. Follow Kara. I can follow anybody I want to. But they're human just like I am. And they're as fallible as I am. And apart from the grace of God, we all stumble and fall. There is no other model for the children of grace to copy. Ever hear somebody? I've heard that women do this. I don't know that, but I've heard that. That women get together and they'll see somebody walk by and say, "Well, I sure wish I had her hair. I sure wish I looked like that." I don't have any other models except Christ. He's the only thing I want to be. I want to be just like him. I am like him by grace. The saints follow the Lamb and no one else. I don't follow anybody. I've always been an odd duck. I've always just done, since the Lord saved me, all I just listen to him. It keeps me in trouble with preachers all the time, but that's okay. There is no other life which ever satisfied the law except his. I'm going to give you a little secret. You go out in this world you live in and you start talking to people and they'll start talking to you about the law. They'll let you know, I haven't done that, and I haven't done that, and I haven't done that. and I've done that, and I've done that, and I've done the other. I like for people to tell me that. It's so easy to burst the bubble of a fool. The law is like a chain with 10 links in it, and you're hanging off the end of it. It doesn't make any difference whether you break number 1 or number 10. The results are the same. And everybody's broken at least one. Actually, everybody's broke a lot more than that. Truth being known, we've broken all of them. You break one, you've broken them all. There can be no holiness in any person except that holiness that is obtained through the merit of Jesus Christ the Lamb. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Now there's some instruction in this statement that these are they which follow the Lamb for those who are saints. I like good advice. I don't get a whole lot of it, but I like it. Every cleansed saint. That doesn't mean if you took a bath. It doesn't mean if you've made some promise to somebody. It just means if God Almighty has in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, made you acceptable. All those people are to follow the Lamb. You know, there are some people that refuse to follow anybody. I love Tanya's little boy, Pearson. And he's the sweetest kid. But I'm telling you what, that boy marches to his own tune. He marches to his own tune. And I think he's funny because I've met some people like that. In fact, I've been one of them. That just doesn't march to anybody's tune. They don't follow anybody. They just do what they want to do. There are some other people who will follow anybody. People in this country amaze me. They watch advertisements on television, and they read things in the newspaper, and they believe in hook, line, and sinker. This brand new soap, it's completely new. There's nothing like it on the market. Be sure and get yourself 12 boxes of it. It'll wash it. It'll clean anything. Sure it will. It's made out of the same soap they've been using for 500 years. They put a different smell into it, a different color, and a different shape, but it's all the same thing. They'll believe anything. Washington, D.C. is full of people who couldn't find themselves out of a wet paper bag with a road map, 2 flashlights, and an educated guide. But they're all telling us how to live. There are many who will follow a minister or follow a church. I remember meeting a lady one time. I was in a doctor's office, I think, and we got to talking, and I told her I was a pastor, and she said, she told me where she went to church, and I didn't know the church, didn't know the preacher. I said, well, what do you believe? She said, I believe what my church believes. I said, what does your church believe? She said, they believe what my preacher believes. I said, what does your preacher believe? He believes the same thing I do. I said, it sounds to me like you all just going around a circle. Don't nobody know where they're going. There are many people who will follow their denomination. Now, I'm not picking flags or throwing darts at anybody this morning, but I will tell you this, and I know what I'm talking about. I pastored 2 Southern Baptist churches before I came here. And I know people, I know men that pastor Southern Baptist churches. If the Southern Baptist Convention came out tomorrow and said, we are communists, they'd still stay right there. They still keep sending their stuff into the newspaper. They getting their stuff back. It could be totally against everything, and they'd still go along with it. They just follow their denomination. I was pastoring a church before I came here, and a lady used to come visit quite often, and she wasn't a member. She was belonged to a different denomination, really different from us, and she told me, she said, I don't believe a thing they believe. And I don't do a thing that they tell me to do. I said, why do you go there? Well, because when I went there when I was a kid, and my grandmother went there, and my granddaddy, and they're all buried in the church cemetery, so I feel like I have to stay there. I said, dig them up and bring them with you. She looked at me just as serious. Could I do that? If you want to. I don't think you need to, but you don't. But you don't have to stay there where they're buried either. The children of grace may always follow the Lamb. You can never follow Him too closely in the way you think. Paul said in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If you want to think right, think like Christ. It'll get you in trouble. You'll rattle some cages and turn some boats over. But you'll be at peace with God. They can never follow too closely. In reality, you can't follow Christ too closely. They have no desire to follow anyone except the Lamb. Revelation 12:11 says they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. We look at those people and think, well, they're strange. No, they just love Christ. And they were following the Lamb wherever He led them. They can follow the Lamb even if it means to go through suffering and through hardship. Isaiah 53:3 says, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. The saints of God will follow the Lamb even if they lose their fleshly friends in the process. I'm telling you, when the Lord saved me in 1967, I lost a lot of friends. I've got folks that are relatives of mine, kin folks of mine, that will hardly to this day speak to me. And you know what? I don't really give a hoot. If I have to give up Christ to get along with them, they can stay where they are. And they will follow Him even if they lose earthly opportunities. I was thinking about this a couple of days ago. A fellow that I knew for a long time was a pastor, and he told me, he said, I got a deal for you. He said, there's a church that I know of, so they really need a pastor, and said they like good preachers, and for some reason he thought I could preach, and he said, I can hook you up with this church, so I can put you in down, we're talking about 1970 or something, 73 or 4, something like that, when $1,000 a week was a lot of money. I said, they'll pay you $1,000 a week, furnish you a house and a car, and pay all your insurance and all your taxes and stuff and your retirement and stuff like that. You can move in. All you got to do is go down there and preach. I said, that sounds like an awful good deal. He said, well, there's a little hitch. You're going to have to stop preaching this grace stuff you preach. I said, I'm going to tell you something. I wouldn't quit preaching grace if they paid me $1 million a week and bought me a whole fleet of cars and a subdivision to live in. So I'd rather live on the street and walk everywhere I went, wear rags, and preach Christ. And I tell you, I still feel that way. They can follow the Lamb in baptism and in church membership. Deanna the other day, she's not here today, but she came to me the other day and she said, I want to join the church and I don't know what I need to do. And I said, have you ever been baptized? And she said, yeah, but I don't think it meant anything. I was a little kid. I said, well, are you a believer? And she said, yes. So I can take care of the rest of that. And they'll follow him no matter what happens. They'll follow him in good works. If you love Christ and you're following Christ, you're going to be like Christ. My sheep hear my voice, he said, and they follow me. It'll make you more amiable. You'll become lovable and friendly. You know what I like about you folks? You're lovable. And the fact that you're lovable shows that you know Christ. It means to be loving, to be self-denying, to be generous. Someone came here not long ago, they were visiting, and they said, did you forget something today? I said, probably. I said, what did I forget? They said, you forgot to take up the offering. I said, we don't take up offerings. I said, there's a box back there. I got a hole on top of it. People want to give something, they put in that box. So how do you pay the bills? I said, I don't know. We have money left over every month. God's people don't worry about stuff like that. They're generous. True joy for every saint is found in following the Lamb. His tracks will lead you to spiritual rest, to refuge, and to replenishment. You remember one time he said, a fellow came to him and said, I want to follow you. And he said, that'd be okay. But I need to tell you something. The birds of the air know where they're going to sleep tonight. And the foxes know what they're going to eat. We don't know either one of them. His tracks lead us to absolute victory. There's a statement in the Bible that everybody knows. And everybody's heard it. Every preacher's preached it. Everybody sitting a pew long enough heard somebody preach it. And almost nobody that I know of understands what it means. You remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross? You remember when he said this? It is finished. Most preachers preach that as if Christ said, I've done enough, and he was going to die. It meant a lot more than that. When Jesus Christ on the cross said, it is finished, he meant that everything that you needed had been provided. And everything you would ever need has been provided. And everything you will need in eternity has been provided. It is finished. And all those who are led by the Lamb know that. His tracks lead us to eternal life in the house that God's built. John said this in John 14:2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. These are they which follow the Lamb. Whithersoever he goeth. Let me show you one more thing in this verse of Scripture. There are some suggestions here to those who would be saints. You see, all I can see is outside of you all. And you look good. I can't see your heart. If I could see your hearts, I'd know who needs to be preached to. I can't read your minds. If you're here today and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, if God Almighty has never laid His hand on you and drawn you to Christ, let me tell you that there's some good suggestions for you in this verse of Scripture. It said these were redeemed. They follow the Lamb wherever He goes because these were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. You must trust Christ completely and absolutely. If you're here this morning, sitting in this building, and you're not trusting Christ absolutely and completely, you need to. Now, you won't believe that until God tells you, but it's the truth. The way to heaven lies in trusting Christ only and absolutely as the sacrifice for your sins. And you are sinners. To trust Him is to abandon yourself. Now listen to me. I'm a great big guy. I've been a great big guy for a great long time. And for almost all my life, I have believed that whatever came down the road in life, I could handle it. I could take care of it, and I didn't need a whole lot of help taking care of it. Most of fact, for a lot of years, I didn't think I needed any help. And then one day, God introduced me to Christ. And I saw how helpless I was. And I've been learning that lesson every day since 1967. And I am more conscious now than I ever have been. The other day I went to an AARP driving class. I know how to drive. I just thought I'd get a discount off my insurance. I'm telling you what, I'm glad they weren't giving grades. I might not have passed. And I got to thinking about that. I got to think about, I wonder how much longer I can drive. I might not be able to drive too much longer. I hope God will give me the sense to know when to hand my keys over to my sons and say, there, boys, I ain't driving anymore. All I got to do is walk over here and preach. That's all I really have to do. We run out of groceries, y'all go get something, we'll do that. I don't care. To trust Him is to forsake everything else except Him. There's a lot of people. I have a lot of friends, and I'm thankful for them. I have a lot of Christian brothers and sisters, and I'm thankful for them. But I'm telling you what, if God lets me starve to death, I'll just starve to death. If that's part of following the Lamb, I'm ready. You must seek a practical faith. These are people which follow the Lamb. They don't just watch Him. They don't just listen to Him. They don't hear about Him. They follow Him. You must do what He bids you to do and do it as He bids you do it. You must obey because He bids you and because He trusts you. So what do you want us to do, Pastor? What's in the book? It's as simple as that. What's in the book? You say, but I fail so often when I try to do it. Me too. But I'm following the Lamb. You must not strive to negotiate with Him. It says they follow Him whithersoever He goeth. I know a lot of people that are dealing with God. Wherever God sends you, I would advise you to go. He told Abraham, came to Abraham one day, and he said, I want you to leave your mama, your daddy, your brothers, your sisters, and everybody else, and go to a place that I'll show you. Abraham was 75 years old. I mean, he's older than Eugene. And he just took off walking. And he said, I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to give you so many children that the grains of the sands of the sea and the stars in the sky, if you could count them all, you couldn't count all your children. Abraham gets to be 100 years old. He still ain't got no children. God keeps reminding him. He gave him a son when he was 100 years old. Saul of Tarsus was a man. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was trained under Gamaliel. He was the protege. He was the next head of the Jewish religion. And one day he was on his way to Damascus with a satchel full of warrants to arrest and, if need be, kill all the Christians and destroy the church in Damascus and wipe the name of Christ from the earth. And the light came on. And he started following Jesus. And you read the book of Acts, it's an adventure. They'll follow him wherever he goes. And then they must be like him as well. They follow the Lamb. Christ and his followers are to be of one mind and of one spirit. It's a shame we've got so many different denominations and religions and churches all around this community. Most of them don't believe anything. Some of you folks have been going to sound churches most of your life, and you've never had a chance to go and sit in a church where they don't believe anything, and it's obvious. We used to go on vacation back years ago, and I'd go to church somewhere. I'd pick different ones. I'd try to find me somewhere I could hear something. Year after year after year, I would hear. And I would say, how do these people sit and listen to this? It's Norman Vincent Peale in old age. You must become more lamb-like as you live longer. Now, we're getting a little older. We're getting a lot of gray hair around this house. Doug doesn't have any gray hair. But we're getting older. Some of you are as old as I am. And I have heard that a few of you might be older than me. I don't know about you, but I suspicion you're like me. I'm more like the Lamb than I've ever been. I still got a lot of flaws. I'm a long way from perfect or being good or anything like that. But I tell you one thing. The Lord Jesus Christ has taken away my ability to hate anybody. I can't hate anybody. He's taken away any desire I ever had to cheat anybody. And I honestly don't have any real desire to please anybody. I like to try to get along with my two sons. They're both big enough to whip me, maybe, if they could catch me. But I really don't care about that. He leads his people to communion. He brings us to this table down here. And we sit with a cup and a piece of bread. And we remember him as he was, what does the scripture say? Until he comes again. You must align yourself with God's people. There must be an assembling together of the saints of God for praise and for worship and for service to this Lamb, who's also the King of Kings. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Let me give you three or four things to wrap this up. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ has undergone a great many trials. They've been endured by saints who are led by the Lamb for the last 20 centuries. And they still are. I don't know what the future holds for us as a church, as individual believers, as a country. It doesn't look real good. But I want you to remember something. That no matter, when they haul me off to jail, and they send the police out to guard the door and tell us we can't get together and meet, I'll still be following the Lamb. I'll still be following the Lamb. I hope you will be too. There are plenty of obstacles in your life and mine. There are plenty of enemies for the saints, for the churches, for the family, for our country. And those things must be dealt with constantly, not by a conglomeration or a meeting of politicians or educated morons, but by people who are led by the Lamb, the one who's their master, their example. You know, our Lord, the Lamb, lives forever. I'm going to die. So are you. The Lord Jesus Christ lives. And I give you a little secret. When they call you and tell you I'm dead, just kind of grin and say, no, he's not. Because if he lives, I live. If you're in him, you die. If he lives, you live. He can be followed. He must be followed. And then I say again, if you've never been conquered by the King of Kings, I pray that God will change your heart and give you a passion to be led by the Lamb. It seems like as I get older that I'm not as passionate about a lot of things as I used to be. I just have a hard time finding things to get stirred up about. I went to a ball game the other night. I didn't know anybody. And I got involved in the game, and I got excited. Pretty soon I was hollering at the referees and encouraging the players. And I was encouraging players on the team that I didn't even want to win. And I thought, you're acting crazy. I know King Jesus rules. He's the Lamb, and I want to follow him. These are they which follow the Lamb, whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Amen.